The Lord God has given me the tongue of the disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we recognize that you're in this place tonight. You've already manifested yourself in this place, and you've already touched many that have been here tonight. But Holy Spirit, I come to you tonight, and I lift our nation up to you. Yes. Lord, it says in your word, as you spoke it thousands of years ago, that we would enter into a time of great deception, and we have arrived in that. However, it also says, Lord, in your word, that truth prevails. And so, Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to remove this veil of deception, that you would remove it in such a way that would expose the very enemies that would come against this nation. Lord, I believe that you founded this nation on your word. And, Lord, it says in your word that the words that you speak do not return unto you void, but they produce the very thing that you sent it into. So, Lord, I thank you for a change. I thank you for a restoration. Lord, it says in your word that you're coming soon, and so we come into agreement with that. Lord, it also says in your word that we can hasten your coming. So, Lord, I'd ask that you would have this body that is gathered here tonight to motivate, to remind, to intercede, and ask that your coming would come soon. This world is desperate, Lord. It's desperate to hear your word, but Lord, I also ask that you would commission us tonight to remind us, Lord, to leave this place motivated by your Holy Spirit to go out and to witness to those that you sent us to, that we would be faithful to pray for those that are around us, that you would put into our very minds those that we're to speak to and to minister to, that you would give us the words in our prayers to be specific, to speak words of life over people. Lord, we lift up all these people that have suffered in these storms, Lord, in many different ways. But also, Lord, I pray that you would give all of your children understanding in these storms, that they would understand and discern them, Lord. And Lord, that you give them a word to be able to speak to others that have not known how to deal with these storms, nor do they know you yet. So, Father, we just thank you for all these things. And by your Holy Spirit, we know that we can lift these things up and that your angels that are commissioned out of here that hearken unto your word, that they would be released and dispatched from this place to go into those places of these storms, not just these storms, Lord, that have occurred in the natural, but the storms that are in the spirit, and that storms that people go through, individual storms of different difficulties. Lord, I thank you this word tonight would go deep within the hearts as seeds into these ministers, that they would leave from this place carrying a deposit to be able to take to the world and to those that they face this week and in days to come. Lord, in all and everything, we give you all the glory, and we recognize you as the head of your called out ones, the head of the church. We yield to you tonight that you might come and lead the charge. As it says in your word, that the gates of hell will not prevail or hold out to the church. And so, Lord, I'd ask you to give us a word that you'd put in our mouth, Lord God, that we leave here tonight that would be like a sword, Lord, that would literally attack the gates of hell. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 If you have your scriptures with you, if your Bible with you, whether it's your phone or whatever way that you follow it, you can turn to Acts 27 and kind of just put your little marker there. We're going to go into some other scriptures, but the Lord was leading me to minister on storms tonight, and I was getting some information on some storms that I've always known about, but I've never really taught it like this. So I hope that this is something maybe that's fresh and new to you. One of the things that I know we have some visitors here, and we call this the gathering, and basically it's a gathering of ministers. And we believe that everybody has a mission that you're sent in this earth to do, and that you'll give an account of that. And when you stand before the Lord and he opens up the book and he calls your name out before all heaven, what a day that will be. And you'll give an account for your life, and he's not going to bring up your sins because he's forgotten them, because the Lord has the power to forget. And he chooses to use his power to forget our sins. But we will give an account. Did we complete the mission that he sent us in the earth to do? And because I said this word to you tonight, you can actually know what that is and you can seek that, because many people do complete their missions unknowingly, but I believe it's the Lord's will, as he did with his son. It said that he set his face like flint towards the cross. He hid his mission. He hid his marching orders. Well, that means that he gives us the same. And so I would submit to you, if that's never been done in your life, I would submit to you tonight that when you leave here, that you have that conversation with the Holy Spirit, and he will certainly answer you, and he will bring that into focus. And that's really the meaning of the mission of the church. And I pray that churches in this city and pastors will start to wake up, that they will prepare the body of Christ for what is to come. Because the Lord is head over his church, and he will not have any other gods before him. And that's very clear in the scriptures. Amen. I say that with a smile. See, I smiled. Amen. God's so good. I did come back from South Africa. I'm not going to get into that tonight, but there will be an evening that I will share what God had done there. It was quite awesome. So anyway, in Acts 27, just kind of fun right there, there's three types of storms that I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about Jonah's storm. I want to talk about Jesus' storm. And I want to talk about Paul's storm. There are three different storms. There's more storms in the scripture than that, but these particular three storms is what I want to talk about tonight. If you have the book of Jonah, turn over there real quick. I know I told you to go to Acts, but let's go to the book of Jonah. And that's, let's see, that's page 1449. So Jonah's storm. It's interesting. Jonah's storm came upon him because of sin. And he disobeyed God. And Jonah was not in the will of God. And what happened is the Lord spoke to the Lord. It says here in verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up and fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so basically Jonah had his marching orders. The word of the Lord came to him, telling him what to do. It's very specific. And for whatever reason, I mean, he does go into some detail why Jonah did not go, because he knew that they were going to repent and that God wouldn't do what he said he was going to do. I guess he got tired of doing that kind of ministry where he would go to say God is going to do this and the people would repent and then God wouldn't do it. And I guess he didn't like the way that looked. I'm not sure, because we don't know Jonah. He isn't here to talk to us about that. But that was one of the things that came out in scriptures. But the storm came on him because of that. He flew from the presence of the Lord. He left. He decided, well, I'm not gonna do the will of the Lord. I'm not gonna go where he's positioning me. I'm gonna sin and I'm gonna do what my will wants. And I'm gonna flee the presence of the Lord. I'm gonna go down. And I'm gonna go on a cruise. And cruise didn't turn out very well for Jonah. And Jonah was not in the will of God. He ran from the presence of God. And that's, we just covered that. In verse 10, it says, the men became extremely frightened because a storm came upon them as they got into this boat. And it says that God sent the storm. So, you know, we've studied the scriptures. There's a point where I talked about Job and how God allowed Satan to attack with the storm. But in this specific circumstance, God sent the storm. Now, whether he used Satan to do it or not, I really don't know. Because God is over the devil. That's a big lesson for Christians to learn, but he is. And so anyway, the storm comes down. So the storm was directly caused by his decision not to do the will of God. He flew from the presence of God. And so it says here, then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, how could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And so that's the circumstance. That's why Jonah's storm came up in his life. And so many times, you know, people, you know, we have a call on our life. And sometimes we get into religious situations and churches where people don't act right and pastors don't act right and people just don't act right to believe in God. And we just decide, well, you know what? I don't believe in God, or I'm just going to run from the presence of God because of a person or because of a situation. Maybe something in life doesn't turn out well for somebody. And they said, well, I don't believe in that stuff. You know, but storms come upon people because they're not doing the will of God. And you could get marching orders from God. I didn't want to do something today. I just didn't want to do it. And I said to Russell, Lord, you know, I'll do it if you want me to do it, but I really don't want to do it. Just want you to know, I do not want to do this. And I could have made a decision. And then I said, you know, Lord, I'm not going to lie. Because I started thinking I could probably get out of this thing, and I tried to manipulate it where it wasn't a lie. You know how you formulate things? I don't want to lie. You know, but then the Lord says, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no, and then also speak the truth. And so, but if I did this thing, I wouldn't have to speak the truth. I wouldn't even have to get in. I could just do the thing. But I want to make sure it was the Lord. And here I am. I'm going to minister tonight. I'm going to be in front of people. Well, you know, I got to make a decision here. Now, how can I stand in front of people and not follow through with the truth? So I decided that I would go do it, and I did it. Wasn't a big deal either, but somehow I made it a big deal. So, you know, have you ever had that, you know, where God's telling you to talk to somebody or telling you to do something or, you know, or you want to respond to something in a certain way and God says, don't talk? I mean, these are things that we make decisions over that causes storms in our life because we're not operating in the presence of God. We're fleeing from the presence of God. Now, in Jonah's case, he was a prophet and he had a job and the word of the Lord came to him. That's much different because when the word of the Lord comes to an individual, he watches over his word to what? To perform it. He had no chance. He had no choice. The word of the Lord came to him. He was carrying a word that God wanted to send to these people. And there were people, there were children in this situation. And I think the Lord told him, he says, do not care for all these children. Do not, why would I send this word? I mean, you know, he had a little bit of an attitude. So God watches his word to perform it. That means God's word is inside of you. And sometimes you're to deliver a word to somebody. And God will have a way of doing that. People, Christians, sometimes believe, well, God, you know, we have free will and God won't go against your will. Well, we'll tell Jonah that. I mean, these are false teachings, saints. And, you know, you think you got free will, but when you're in the kingdom of God, guess what? You're his kids. Now, my son may think he's got his own will sometimes, but you know what? He does the wrong thing. He's going to find out that he's going to do my will. Amen? And we do that with our children, you know, so that's just the way that it is. So just understand that God will go against your will. And when you're in storms sometimes, it's because you're not in the will of God. And people say, well, I'm in the permissive will of God. Boy, I tell you what, isn't that a way we just manipulate our minds at times? We're in the perfect will or we're not in the will of God. And so these storms come in our life and storms are coming to people's lives that are around you right now that you might know because they're not in the will of God. And they might need to hear a message like that. So take that from here and you can find people to minister to, I'm sure. So God sent a fish to him to save him out of the storm, to position him correctly. So not only was he in the storm because of his disobedience, because he flew from the presence of God, God had to send a fish to him to rescue him from the storm. And then that fish positioned him right where he should be because he had no choice because of the word of the Lord. And as I read that, I just started going over and over. I mean, God's word will not return to a void. So the word went into Jonah and it wasn't going to return to God void. Jonah decides to go do that. God gets in a storm. He's going to try to kill. I don't know if he's trying to kill himself or whatever, but he was going to drown. God sends a fish. He ends up in a fish for 3 days. And see, a lot of people that don't believe in God don't believe in Jonah, but Jesus quoted it. It actually happened. Can you imagine being in a fish for 3 days? Just think about that. I mean, right then and there, that would certainly discipline me. Well, I am sorry. You know, you're going to get me out of this one. You sent the fish, so I'm sure he didn't think that God would kill him, but he certainly made him uncomfortable. God used that storm to wake Jonah up. So sometimes these storms, sometimes God will send a fish, not just to rescue you out of that storm, but to position you correctly so that you might bring the word of the Lord and do the will of the Lord. And so that Jonah got corrected. He still had an attitude later on, as you read in the book, he still had an attitude, but you know, God will deal with that. But at least he followed through with what God told him to do. Now, I don't know what kind of changes he went under when he was in that fish.
I don't know, you know, what digestive juices he was covered with. I don't know if it bleached him white or what it did. You know, I mean, he could have just right then and there, that's probably could have repented just because of the way he looked. But, you know, there was some kind of cleansing that went on in that fish. And so just know this, that when you go against the will of the Lord and you're God's child and he has a mission for all of us, when we get out of that will and we find ourselves in the storm and we're crying out to him, he sometimes will send a fish, but that fish will clean you up and that fish will position you where you need to be. And so you don't want to get out of position with the Lord. So that's just one storm. Now, the other storm I want to look at is in Luke chapter 8. So Jonah was out of the will of God. In Luke chapter 8, verses 22, it says, "Now on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, 'Let us go over the other side of the lake.' So they launched out, but as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and be in danger. They came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, 'Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?'" So Jonah was not in the will of God. Jesus is the will of God. He was following the will of the Father. And yet a storm came on him. So you can be in the will of God, you can be following the will of God, but you can be in a storm. And the reason why I'm saying that is you look at people in the Bible, like you got Samson, you got Joseph. Samson got in a storm because he's a womanizer. Joseph got in a storm because he was pure. But they both got in storms. So you can't judge a person because they're in a storm. They may be following the will of the Lord. And so it's important that we look at Jesus that way. But not only that, it says here that Jesus is the will of God. He followed the Father's will. But he was asleep. He slept first in the storm. And then he spoke to it. Now there's a big lesson for us then as ministers. And I share this because I'm sharing this with you because many of you may be in a storm right now. Many of you may be entering into one, or maybe you're ministering to people who are in one. And one of the things about Jesus, he knew all things were about to befall him. He's in the will of God. The Holy Spirit says he will show us things to come. So it's very possible that you may spot a storm in the Spirit. As I say that, I just saw one in my life. I see a storm I'm about to enter into. I can be asleep during that storm as I enter into that storm and while I'm into that. So he slept in the storm before he rebuked the storm. I find that very interesting. And on top of that, he probably knew his disciples were going to lose it because he said, "How long do I have to be up with you?" He's always saying, "Where's your faith? You could have stopped those storms." He just got done seeing all the miracles of yesterday. But the point I'm trying to make, because Jesus was the will of God, and because he was following the will of the Father, and because he knew things before was going to fall him, he was able to go to sleep. That storm did not bother him, but he knew that it was coming. Now, what's interesting is he rebuked that storm, and that's similar to the word of casting out demons. So there was a spiritual force behind that storm. And so he wasn't rebuking, you know, a storm. He was rebuking what was behind the storm. So he was asleep during the storm, and he knew the storm was coming, and as soon as he decided to get up, because the disciples woke him up, he rebukes the storm, he rebukes what's behind the storm, and the storm stops. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes, have you ever rebuked a storm and nothing happens? Have you ever rebuked a situation and nothing happens? But if I really check it out, I wasn't sleeping before that situation. I got to a point where I'm rebuking that thing. You know, we rebuke this and we go around and start handing out rebukes, you know, and then we come up with other words besides rebuke. I come against you and I bind you, you devil, I'm just stomp on you. I mean, we go through these religious gymnastics, but if we approach the storm and the approach is correct, when we go sleeping into it, his yoke is easy, his burden is light, when we approach that storm like that, then at that point in time, we can stop the storm because we can rebuke the devourer that's behind it, if that's what's behind it. That's why it's important to identify the storm. You know, like I said, Jonah was not in the will of God. Jesus was the will of God. Now, the third storm is the one that I really want to focus on, because there's just a lot in this scripture in Acts 27. So Jesus was, so we got Jonah that was out of the will of God. We got Jesus who is the will of God. And then we got Paul who was in the will of God. Paul's storm was a little bit different. Paul's storm was a result of someone else's decision. Paul's storm was a result of someone else's decision, bad decision. So you can be in a storm because somebody made a bad decision. We could be in a storm as a government making bad decisions. So sometimes the storms are in our life because people that make bad decisions. And it's important to recognize that, because there's certain ways to react to that type of storm that you need to know as ministers, that you also need to as individuals, because these are the things that we have to communicate to the people that are around us. These are the people that need to hear this. It's like we talked about trials last week. Some of you were here, and it says to count it all joy when you encounter various trials, because you know that trial is going to produce, it's going to conform you into the image of God. But joy is a power, it's not a feeling. And joy is released as a power when we have the expectation, because we're in that trial, expecting that we're being conformed to His image. And knowing that we're being conformed to His image brings the power of joy in somebody's life. That's a word for the body of Christ. I cannot tell you how many people have gotten back with me from South Africa because that word was brought everywhere. I had other words for where I was at, but that one word has just touched so many people's lives. And that was a word from the Lord, not from Todd. So just remember that. But anyway, getting back to Paul, Paul was in a storm because of the decision of someone else. Decisions can affect other people as well. The first thing that we have to understand about that storm, and I'm going to go into detail of what who made the bad decision, but one thing about Paul too, he survived many storms. He was seasoned in storms. Think of the season of God in his life. He was beaten. He had, you know, he was put in prison. He had all kinds of different things come at him. And even the church, you know, was not real sure about him because he was persecuting the church, but then he gets converted. And people weren't really sure that he was a real apostle. So he went through some. So here you got a guy that's in a storm, but he was already seasoned. So when he got into a storm that was a bad decision from somebody else, he knew how to deal with it. And so when you really look at your life and some of the things you've gone through, you have some seasoning already. You've already overcome some storms. So you can take that into the next storm. You know, it says, Jesus said, he says, remember the house that was built on the rock and the house that was built on the sand? The storm came on both the houses. So he's preparing us. Jesus is always discipling us. He's always teaching us. Every miracle that he had was a teaching in itself. So, the first thing in verse 10, 27, it says, and he said to the men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only the loss of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. So he knew that they were going to be in danger. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul. And one of the things about Paul in this particular scripture is that he wasn't holding this against that guy that was piloting the ship. He wasn't bitter towards him. He wasn't angry towards him. He was just simply giving him the word. So the first thing that we've got to do when someone else makes a bad decision, we get in a storm, the first thing you've got to do is forgive them. You have to disarm it immediately. Because the person that makes the bad decision to put you in a storm, the enemy would try to plant a root of bitterness inside of you. He would try to get you into his territory. So he's very skilled. He's a very skilled adversary. So he tries to hook you and me when someone else makes a bad decision, and we end up getting into a storm. I cannot tell you how that has happened to me in my life, where somebody made a bad decision and where I work at, and I just couldn't let go of it for some years. I didn't realize, I thought I forgave the person, but just the very fact that it was in my crawl, and the very fact that when he had an opportunity to bring it up, I was in a form of unforgiveness that I needed to deal with. And that's how the enemy gets us into hooks. So just in saying that, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you individually about things exactly what I just said. So he's pointing those things out because he wants to set you free of that. He wants you to get loose because that's where the enemy has hooked you and can get you into a place where he can hold your, paralyze your ministry to a degree. So people make bad decisions and put you in a storm. You know, it happens all the time. People go through, you know, things, divorces. They go through situations at work, you know, family. That's one big area. Has family ever do you wrong? Nobody ever here? You all had perfect family? Yeah, we had perfect family until I showed up. there's no perfect family here, is there? So that's where the rubber meets the road. Is there anybody in that family that made bad decisions? Then you got to forgive them. Okay, so that's the first thing to get rescued out of the storm. The second thing is the storm might destroy the ship, but don't let it destroy your faith. In verse 22, it says, "Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." Interesting. And 1 Timothy 1:18, or let's look up there. I'll look that real quick. You don't have to. I'll just thumb there real quick because I got there. It says, "This command I entrust you, Timothy, my son, according with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you would fight the good fight of faith." Some of the prophecies that you've received here, you can fight with them if they're from the Lord. So verse 19 says, "Keeping faith and good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith." So sometimes when you are going through a storm, your faith is wrecked, but you survive it, but the ship that you're on may be wrecked. And some people, you know, have gone through situations where they lost their house maybe, or lost something. But don't lose your faith. The ship may go down, but you don't have to go down with the ship. Amen? The third thing I want to point out is that you have to have faith in God in the storm. Storms do not mean that God is absent. In verse 22 through 24, it says, "Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, stood before me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you.'" So you have to have faith in God during these storms that are caused by other people. The storms don't mean that God's absent. So many times, and it's not just us individually, but other people interpret these storms as, "I've done something wrong." You know what I'm saying? Or "I deserve this." You know, we punish ourselves. And so many times we do that because we do not forgive ourselves. You have to forgive yourselves. And you have to call upon the Lord. "Lord, you have the power to forget. So it must be it's inside me. I release that." Has anybody ever done that? Does anybody pray to forget? Since this has been coming out of my mouth. Oh, there we go. You got one. How often do you pray to forget? I'm on my knees every day. But the point is, you can ask the Lord for that. He has the power to forget. If he can heal, he can give you the power to forget. Now, if you got to deal with, you know, forgiveness, you got to deal with that first probably. But then, you know, I know some things, it just seems like it was 1,000 years ago. It's like so distant. And that's why we don't want to hold an account against anybody, because if you don't hold an account, you can't remember it. You don't want to remember it. So, faith in God. Fourth thing is that not everything in God will end up in a miracle. Some endings are swimming to the shore. Verse 26, but we must run aground on a certain island. So, you know, here they are, they're in a storm. You know, God could have just stopped the storm, but he says that this ship is going to run aground. So there wasn't really a miracle in that sense. Verses 42 through 44, it says, the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none of them would swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to bring Paul safely through, kept them from their intention and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest should follow, some on planks, others on various things from the ship. And so it happened that they all were brought safely to land. So not everything in God will end up in a miracle. Some of the endings are simply just swimming to the shore. And you know that to be true. And that's the thing that about sometimes, you know, as we're being trained, you know, we sometimes want that miracle. But when we got the training harness of God, he knows what we need. And sometimes he wants us to swim to shore. But he still strengthened us to do that. But that's how these guys were delivered out of this storm. Don't lose your spiritual appetite when you're in the storm. Sometimes when we're in the storm, we don't get in the Word of God like we should. I mean, not about you, but sometimes I'm driven to the Word of God if I'm in a trial or a storm. I want to get in there. But some people that were in their storm for a long period of time, they just give out hope and they don't want to get into the Word of God, and so they don't feed themselves. Now, what's interesting here, if you look in the scriptures here in verses 33 and 35, this is really interesting. Until the day was about dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have been consistently watching and going without eating, having taken nothing. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation. For not a hair from the head of any of you will perish. Having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. Isn't that interesting? So when you're in the storm, you've got to eat the Word of God. You've got to get into the Word. It will deliver you. It will encourage you. You know, so many times that's the last thing we do is to pick up that Bible. And that's what we have to do, because that's there for a reason. So if you find yourself in a storm, or maybe you don't really, you know, if you're not really read your Bible yet, or maybe you don't even understand it yet, you know, it doesn't really matter. Get into it. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to specific scriptures that will minister to you. I can't tell you how many times I've just opened my Bible and right there. I'm not kidding you. It's amazing to me. And that's the Lord. And one time I was sitting there, you know, and God was speaking to me, and I was sitting there, Lord, you know, I'm ready. I was in a good mood. Everything was going great. I want to get into your Word. He was preparing me for a storm that was about to happen. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, gosh, everything's so great. I open up the Word, and God says to go to specific scripture, and it says, go to the ant, you sluggard. I could not be the Lord, but it, you know it's God, because when it's disciplining you, because he said, go to the ant, you slugger, who prepares his food ahead of time. And God was trying to prepare me through his Word about what was about to take place. And so that's why it's so important that we eat that Word, that we eat when we're in the storm. One other thing, too, that I found interesting in this is that we need to hang on to the broken pieces. And verses 41, it says, but striking a reef, there were two seas met. They ran the vessel aground, and the bow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern began to be broken up by the force of waves. In verse 44, it says, and the rest should follow when they were swimming ashore, and the rest should follow on some planks and other various things from the ship. And so it happened that they were all brought safely to land. You know, there's no question in our life that we've been broken into pieces at times. And there's something about the Holy Spirit that's so close when we're broken like that. And we only may have a couple pieces to hang on to. And so it's important to know that maybe you're a broken life, or maybe you're in a shattered situation or whatever. And you know, since you're ministers, you're going to find people that are in shattered situations. And they need to hang on to those broken pieces until they get to the shore. And even though the ship was destroyed, there were planks, there were things that they could hang on to as they were getting, you know, to shore, to getting to safety. So sometimes it's the broken pieces that get you to your destination. Last point I want to try to make is this, is that if God doesn't part the sea and the fish doesn't come and swallows you and the rebuke doesn't occur, he will strengthen you to swim to the shore, and his grace is sufficient. In 2 Corinthians 12:9 it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And so these are just three storms. There's more in the scriptures, but there are people right now going through a lot in these natural storms. These natural storms are prophetic in the sense of what's going on in our nation, because there's a real shaking going on. There's a real upheaval going on. There is another storm that's on the horizon that we don't even know about yet, but yet we sense it. But I believe that God's word and truth is able to prevail, and God's people will prevail. If they will just humble themselves and they will just get down before their knees, and if they'll just repent, and repent is just changing. Repenting is just coming into agreement with the Holy Spirit to change us. And one of the things that we all recognize is we need to be changed. But let me tell you, when you're in that stream of change, it is a wonderful thing. Because you recognize and realize that you're being changed by unseen hands. And he does such a thorough work. He doesn't just do it halfway. He totally gets inside of us and changes us from the inside. He takes that coal, that heart, that mission that's inside of us, and he breathes on it, and it begins to ignite. And it changes our life, and it burns out things. It burns out attitudes. It burns out dumb thinking at times. It burns out the things that need to be burned out, because our God is a consuming fire. It says in the scriptures, who can stand before he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And that's what he's doing. He's refining us so that we can stand up when he appears. And so just know that. So these storms that are coming, if this doesn't happen, he will strengthen you to swim to the shore. And we need to allow this process to complete us. And I believe that many people got some ministry here tonight just through that word. It really hit some real deep things, especially in this bad decision area storm. I mean, I can clearly recognize a few of those things through my life. I had one time a situation where I was coaching down at the university, and I was working with kids, young kids. And another person got the college job, and he wanted to take my business. And, I ended up talking to the athletic director. I said, you know, this guy's trying to take my business. And the athletic director could care less about those kids. And so the person tried to take business, so I was kicked out of there. And so obviously it was bad decision making that affected me. Not just affected me, it affected these kids. And then two nights, straight nights, right back to back, I had dreams that I was great friends with this guy. I mean, it was so real that when I woke up and I thought, oh man, this thing's all solved. It came to pass over a period of years. In fact, it came to pass where he got a job down in Miami and asked me to come down and work with him. But in saying that, you know, that what about that athletic director? I mean, I had to forgive that guy. See, it's God's. It's his job to take care of that kind of stuff, and I recognize it because when the college job opened, I did not want to coach college. I like working with kids. I like developing. I like taking them from scratch. I didn't want to do it, but every time a college coach came in, they kept trying to take my business. So I threw my name in the hat, and Mike McGee was the AD down there. So I go in there. I'm interviewing with him. And sit down with him. He goes, "I just saw that your young lady, 16 years old, just won the national championship. I saw that in the paper." And he says, I'm really interested in hiring you here." I said, "Well, I don't really want to coach college. but your college, your coaches keep trying to take my job, so I figure I might as well, I'll do the college so I can keep this position." And he goes, "That's a strange way to approach an interview." And so when I went on this interview, I recognized that AD didn't care about kids was He was in that meeting. And I said, well, I did apply for it once before, but I didn't get it. He said, why didn't you get it? Well, I think because this swim coach didn't like the other swim coach, and then I think the AD was involved or whatever. And he sits there and turns to this other AD, and he yells at him and reams him out right in front of me.
I'm just sitting there going, wow.
I'll take it.
No, I mean, because God took care of it. But I had to forgive the guy. But the point is, what ended up happening, I was in a storm, but over a period of time and over circumstances, I was elevated out of the storm. And then he said, well, what would you do if I would give this job? What do you need to do this job? And I said, well, I need to have this, 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 and this. And he goes, okay, you got 24 hours. I mean, I didn't know what to do. I mean, I knew what to do. I mean, I took the job, but it was one of those things that the storm that I was in for 3 years, God led me out of it, made friends with this coach that was against me. And then the other coach came after that, and he was more oppressive than the one before. But the Lord said to me, you will walk into that office one day, you will walk in that pool day, and you will never see him again. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, the Holy Spirit showed me things to come. I learned through the first storm. But this is the same thing. I submit this to you because people make bad decisions. But God has a way of correcting them. We must enter those types of storms with forgiveness and allowing to get ourselves to a place where we're sleeping in it, where the Holy Spirit can show us some things to come and we can be at peace knowing that there'll be a time that we either rebuke it or send a fish or whatever needs to happen. He'll put us in the position that he wants us to be in. So rest assured, you can rest in God that he will remove you in situations and put you in a place of victory. Amen. Courtney, God's leading you into victory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, you're in a world when you're in a tornado, but the tornado is lifted now. And you're able to see where you're going. In fact, God has placed a vision in you in a direction. You have strong direction now. You can see how things are going to work out for you at this point. But what you don't know at the end of that is an opportunity because the Lord is giving you dreams again about doing something with your life. Something that you had even as a young lady. And now the dream is before you. Now you can head towards it because there's a door of opportunity. But right now what God is giving you is the key. He's giving you power. Keith is opening up that door. And so now you're rushing towards the goal. You can't wait. You're anticipating it. You're getting anxious in a good way. Amen?
Yeah.
Is that right? Amen. So just head towards that. God's got a good thing for you in store. Amen?
She said on the way here, she hoped you had something for her.
Amen. Well, I got something for you too. So anyway, I mean, God's so good. You know, I see you in a place where, and we talked about people making bad decisions, and you've been under the hand of bad decisions, and the bad decisions made you make bad decisions. So you understand what I was reading about, okay?
Yes,
but so you were in a fish, but you've been spit out, amen. So God's got you exactly in the position that you need to be in right now. And so now that your life is ahead of you, and God says, I speak a word of restoration over you, I speak a word of deliverance over you, I speak a word of strength over you, and the doubt that has been attacking your mind in the name of Jesus, that's not your thought anyway. So I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Those thoughts of doubt saying that you're not going to make it are a complete lie. They're not your thoughts. And you have a right to say those are lies and those are not my thoughts. And then just take the Word of God, find a place in the Bible, and start reading it to that fool because he is a fool. Amen? That's an unseen force that has been operating over your life for a period of years. This assignment of hell has been canceled off you tonight. It's no longer going to be there, okay? Now you can look forward, amen? Because God has life before you. Because he's spoken life to you. You shall not die, but you shall have life. Because the enemy has tried to put inside your mind that very thought. Amen? But it has been broken off. You shall live and you shall not die. Amen? Because what you don't know is you have promises that you have before the Lord. You have dreams that God wants you to have before you. He's going to restore things that were taken from you by these bad decisions. Amen? And it would be miraculous to you because you see, I don't see any way to it. You know, God can change judges. He can change. There was a friend of mine that was literally, and he was in jail because he didn't pay certain taxes. He paid taxes, but not these certain ones. He thought it was that was lawless, and he probably was right, but that was his call, not mine, thank God. So he's in jail over it, and I had a word for him, and some lawyer took up his case, and he got out of jail. And it completely turned around. And on that, the person that was persecuting him, the person that was in that position, the judge rebuked that guy right in front of him. So there's something around you that's going to be changed in a legal way. I don't know what that is. But I just want to encourage you that God has opened up the door and you are free. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Amen. 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 I know you look a little tired, but I want to give you an encouraging word. Amen. God is so good. Right there in the, I guess you're wearing black. Yes. Yes. What's your name?
Charity.
Sharon?
Sherry.
Sherry. Charity. Charity.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. You know what that means? That means love, right? Amen. You know, sometimes things happen in us to take things away from us, you know. And your very name, love, okay, means that's what's something that's abundant in you, okay? But what the enemy's done in your life is he's created such a wall around you where it's difficult for you to receive love. Amen. But God says, I'm going to love on you and I'm going to love you right out of this whole situation. Because he's giving you an inner strength that you didn't know you had, okay? But it's actually inside you and it's being built up over a period of time. So just allow the Lord. It says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So allow that yoke to come upon you. You're putting too much pressure on yourself. You know, sometimes we just have to follow him. Sometimes it seems like he will do things for us when we can't. You know, we talked about the broken pieces tonight, amen? And you're hanging on to those pieces, but you're going to get to the shore. He's going to strengthen you to swim, amen? Do you have kids? Do you have children? Do you want children in the future? You don't want children? Amen. Well, I don't know about that, but I just want to encourage you. You've got something coming in. There's some promises that may happen in your life that are ahead of you, amen? Because God has a way of changing us, so I just want to give you a word of encouragement, amen? God is so good. Praise Jesus, amen. I don't know if there's a job or something that's going to open up to you, but I see some kind of work that God's going to put you in, and it's going to be a breath of fresh air, amen? And because one thing you do have, and you know this, you've got a good work ethic. You put yourself to something, and you will complete the task. Your tunnel vision, a lot like I am, you know, it's like, you know, but that tunnel vision is going to be a real asset to you because God's going to take that and he's going to use that into your life. Amen. God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. I don't know. I can't see her because she's not there yet. I hope he doesn't prophesy over me. I don't know what you're thinking over there. But... is that right? Amen. Can I prophesy over you? That'd be nice. Amen. Amen. You see, like we talked about forgetfulness, how God forgets. He has the power to forget. Amen. I also talked tonight about forgiving ourselves. Amen. And so if you keep on hitting yourself for a bad decision or whatever, you know, or how do I get myself in this situation? I find that all the time. I mean, Kara's not here tonight, so I could say it. You know, sometimes I get in trouble with Kara, and I go, how in the world did I get in trouble with my wife? I wasn't even trying this time. But somehow... it just happened, you know, and it's because, you know, there's certain things that the Lord is working on. I call them the blind spots. They're the things that we don't see, you know, and Charles is back there. Where is he? He's shaking his head at me. I see you. You know, and so you got to forgive yourself, amen, and that will set you free because you know what? You're highly talented. There's a creativity I see inside of you. I don't know if you're a great artist or what it is that you are, but I see a great creativity in you, and God's going to use that. The jobs are going to be open up to you. You're going to be in that arena. God says, use your gifts. That's what you're gifted at, so just train in those, and what I mean by that, every opportunity you get to design or whatever it is that you do, whatever, just do it. I don't care if it's drawing a piece of paper, amen. God is going to use that. He's going to speak to you as you're doing it. You know, God trained me as a coach. He trained me in the prophetic as through coaching because I had a desire of my heart to speak into the potential of an individual's life. And so your creativity, you're going to have a word of creation that's going to come out of your mouth that's going to create hope in people. That's your ministry. You have a ministry of encouragement. And even when you were down and even when you were in places that you didn't want to be in, you found somehow some way to encourage another person that was next to you on the left or the right. And just realize that you have a great harvest in the kingdom of God and you don't even know it. So just forgive yourself, please, please, okay? Let that go, okay? Work on that creativity because God's going to really bless you in that. I mean that. You're so talented. Amen. God is so good. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? Yes, yeah. You moved in the joy. You really do. But joy is a power. And so because you recognize that tonight, that joy is a power, God is going to use you many times to bring a smile into somebody's life, to bring encouragement in somebody's life, to bring joy in somebody's life. Amen? And because God has done a work. You know God has set you free.
Yes, sir.
Amen? And you know God protected you. Amen?
Yes.
I mean, He protected you divinely.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I see words of anger that came at you to try to destroy you, and you did not take that. You said, I'm not going to listen to that, and you just pressed on forward. And just know this, the situations that you got in, it was not your fault.
That's right. That's right.
And stop blaming yourself for that one, okay? Amen? God is so good. God is so good. Amen. What are you guys talking? Amen. I already ministered to you. Like I didn't, what? I know I've seen you before. I've ministered to you before, haven't I? Amen. Did it come to pass?
Not yet. He told me there was a good, godly man coming to me.
Oh.
So I'm still waiting on that one.
All right. So it looked like you got a lot of expectation inside you. That's good. Amen. Got it. Now, there are a lot of marriages that got restored in South Africa. I mean, I was so amazed at seeing that. That was amazing to me. Amen. Well, you know, you're being prepared for that. Amen. And He's being prepared for you. Amen. I think He's going to be beyond a little bit what he asks or thinks. So you might not be thinking big enough. Maybe that's what God's preparing you for, something much bigger. Amen. God is so good. Amen. You got to finish the course.
Amen.
It says, don't fling away your confidence, which has great reward. After you've done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. And that's what you've been learning. You look at that. Just the way you said that, that confidence was beaming from you.
Yes.
Don't let anybody tear that confidence away from you. Amen? Don't fling it away just because of this or that. Don't fling it away, okay? God wants you to move in confidence. Enemy's trying to take that from you, okay? Through circumstances and through thoughts. The thoughts that come into your mind, take them captive. If they don't edify you, if they don't build you up, they're not from the Lord.
Oh.
Amen? And you can stop them. Just simply... not my thought. I did that a couple times a day. At least a couple. Amen. I seem to be over here a lot. Amen. I know, evangelist, I hit you before. And I know I've ministered to you before, haven't I? Or no?
You did.
I did? Okay. Was it right?
It was pretty spot on.
All right. Well, good. Just had to make me feel good about myself. Amen. My sister here in the green, I want to give you a word of encouragement. I see you, God put a key in your hand. The key is power, and the door is going to open before you. Amen? And I see you like, it's like a door of opportunity, but it's actually a door of transition. You're a person that I see in transition, where God is going to move you because, you know, you've sought the Lord, you hear God's voice, and the gift of healings are needed in where you're going. So that's going to begin to operate through your ministry. And it's going to come in the first in the form of counsel, but the words that come through you in the area of counsel have healing behind them. And there are these minds that of confusion, these people that don't have direction, these people that are confused and different relationship issues and so forth, you're going to speak peace into their lives. And it's going to go right down into their spirits. Because you're going to realize, I'm not just giving a word, I'm imparting something. And you know, when Jesus, remember when the woman had the issue of blood and she pressed in to touch him and he knew that virtue had left him, you're going to understand the power of God being released from you. He was aware of it. You're going to be aware of it. It's going to radically change you because your mission is being refined. When you think about it, you've got the wind blowing on you. The north wind hit you first. And the north wind kind of kills some things and it's rough and stuff. But then the south wind is now coming into your life and it's lifting you up. And it's giving you hope and excitement that there is a future ahead of you. And it's encouraging you. God's going to take those tears away from you. Amen. Because, you know, and it's important that happens. But I want to tell you something. I was crying before the Lord once. I was weeping. And he goes, are you done yet? And it was one of those things. It's so sweet that he said that because... He knew I was broken in that time, but he said, you've gone through a season of that. It's time now to move forward. It's like, remember when Israel was backed up and Pharaoh was coming and the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Go forward. Amen. And so this whole thing has trained you to move forward. And this thing's It's in the past. You've got your hand to the plow, and you're going to get there. You know, there's a real faithfulness that you've had to, you've hung on to faithfulness through your storms. Amen? And so God's just going to give you the other side, and that ministry of healings is, it's going to come forth in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And Garrett, you know, God has made of you streams and rivers. And these streams can move evangelistically. You can do into praise and worship. And, you know, you've got an oracle going on. I mean, you're just a mixed bag. And you've known that for years. And you have not been received properly. And, you know, it's like it says, a prophet is not honored in his own town. Amen. And it's bothered you for years. And you're a strong man, okay? But you're a sensitive man. And you have wept over this. And has bothered you, and because reason being, because you're so full of love. If you weren't full of love, it'd be easy, you know. Amen. And so many times you could have crushed somebody, and you didn't do it. Amen. I mean, not just physically, maybe physically, you know, but you didn't do it. But remember the times when there was an individual that couldn't stand up for himself, they couldn't fight, and you stepped in. Time and time and ten, God has used you as a rescuer. Amen. And God wants to promote you tonight. So God is doing that by His Spirit right now, okay? And the gift of discerning the spirits is now going to operate in your life. Now, you've known they're there, but you're going to see it. It's going to come first in a form of dreams. And that's why you've been having the dreams. So now you're going to understand exactly what you're going to hit. The people that you see in your dreams aren't really those people. It's what's behind them. And God's going to have you hit the target. You're like an arrow in the hand of the Lord. And if you're an arrow in the hand of the Lord, you're going to hit that target over and over and over again. Amen. Charles, would you come up, please? So I just want to encourage you. Andrew, would you come up here, please? I think God has your word. Come up here and share it. Hurry. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Okay. I wrote something at home group. 5:4:24, and it's about a storm, and it's about a stormy situation that you get caught in because it's other people's storm. He has been caught in other people's storms before. Yeah. Okay. Here's what I wrote: in stormy atmospheres of others' decisions, caught in the swirls of your consequences, but Lord, you are more than that. You are above the storm. You send a glory ladder and intertwined with grace and golden threads of love. One grace step at a time, a desperate clinging, you give strength to go up to your place. Each grasp of desperation, every tear that falls, each faith step up, grace envelops my soul. Your love floods my being, it washes bleeding heart wounds. Holy strength builds in every step up, higher and higher, to your abode. Because in your light and the comfort of your presence, all the fear, all the pain, the peace envelops all my beyond understanding, floods my soul. I melt in your consuming comfort and I rest.
Amen. Amen. I just want to give you guys to minister over anybody a prophetic word that you might get or that you got speaking to that.
Yeah. There's this woman right here, and it's actually this whole area. But when he was speaking and giving that word, I want you to know that the Lord's assigned angels to you, and you know, I see them around you as you're sitting there, and. And they're working on your behalf, but the word I got was seek first the kingdom of God, because you're not alone, and God's for you, He's not against you.
Amen. I wanted to say, sister, adding a little bit to what God has already said, that you're going to be surprised by the love of God. You haven't experienced this that I'm talking about yet. But you're going to be surprised by the love of God. It's going to be very dramatic, and that's going to change everything.
Amen. Okay. Amen.
And I believe you said Tessa.
Oh, yes, sir.
Have you ever wanted to write?
I feel like there might supposed to be a book somewhere.
Okay. Well, I see you writing. I see you writing. I see you bringing forth. I see some unusual door being opened for you to go through with regard to writing. And I think probably because of what is said tonight, you're going to remember this and you're going to be able to go through that door and see what happens. God's going to do something special. He's got places he wants you to go, things he wants you to see, things he wants you to do. He's got people that he wants you to affect, and I believe he's going to do that. And Brother Doug, if ain't over yet, the Lord has some things he wants you to do in the order of some things that you've done in the past, but to a greater degree. He's going to direct you in a way that you haven't been before. It seems like things are winding down, and I believe the Lord is saying they're picking up. He's going to direct you in a certain way. You haven't been able to get out everything that the Lord has put up here, and you're going to be able to get that out, and people are going to respond in an appropriate way. Okay? And this brother back here that helped us in worship tonight, I just wanted to add something to what's already been said. I see you being unbundled. You're bundled up in such a way that many times when you get the opportunity to do whatever it is you do, you hit them with everything. And the Lord is unbundling you a little bit so that you'll be able to pick and choose in the Spirit. You'll be able to say, hey, I see what he's talking about. And you'll be able to say, I'll use this time, but not so much of this. And I just think if you consider and meditate on the word unbundling, that'll help you.
God bless you. Amen. Okay. You good? Okay. Yeah. Praise the Lord. God's so good. One other thing I had, I forgot it, apologize, is there's a streamlining God's doing in your work. It's like, it's almost like even the people around you, there's a streamlining. There's a, you know, certain people that Gideon could work with and certain people he couldn't work with. And God was filtering those things. And I see God streamlining you where it becomes very, very efficient and consistent, even to the place where you don't even have to be there. And so there's something that God is opening up for you to be able to move into more of a coaching position, which is really one of your giftings. Man, you're so gifted. You're like my son. There's so much there. And that streamlining, and like kind of what he was saying, it's just, you're going to unbundle, you're going to hit the mark, and it's just going to be consistent. But I really see that into your work, where God wants to lift some stuff off you so you do have more freedom to do some of that stuff. And this is a process over a period of time, but this is a preceding word of something that has been in your heart. I don't know if it's a direct prayer to the Lord or whatever it is, but there's something I see coming up. It could actually be her prayer, has come up before the Lord, and he's answering that prayer. So I just want to encourage you in Jesus' name. Michelle, your prophetic is going through the roof.
I know.
And you need to
be crazy right now.
Yeah, I know. Come up here and share it. Sorry, it took me a while.
Okay, so for you, after all the things that they said and all the things God's going to do, he's going to heal you because you were, the Lord says you were a door, and you stood between one person and another. You took the brunt of other people being mean or whatever was happening, work, church, school, whatever. You were the brunt because you could protect, but in you protecting, you got it. And there's healing coming, which is going to bring a different type of strength to you. And I speak that over you right now in the name of Jesus. Because some of them are long-standing wounds that you've just said, I'll be boy now, just let me get over it. And he's coming to those areas. So say yes and amen to that. Miss G,
Charity. So the Lord said that as charity is like a giving, but people have taken from you. They have taken from you, and they have taken from you. There are physical things, there are emotional things, there are spiritual things, and they have taken your name, or at least they've tried to. And I come against every word, every name that anyone has ever spoken over you that does not line up with the words and the name of God that the Lord speaks over you. In Jesus' name, He is going to command healing to circle you and to watch over you. And He is going to give. He's going to give, and He's going to give, and He's going to give. But every time someone took from you, He's going to give double back.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And then I've got Mama.
Pray. Thank you,
and
Jesus.
I heard the Lord say that, and this may not be right, that you were not mothered well, but you mothered many well in your time. You are a mother to many people who needed you, even when you were not mothered well by your own mother. And the Lord is going to send women, that will be younger than you, who are going to love on you like a mother loves on a daughter. And it's going to be by the Spirit of God, because He redeems all things. He redeems everything.
Yes.
Your heart is His, and He's going to give you the things that you never got. In Jesus' name. I don't know what it is, but I just see the Lord swirling all over you. He's swirling, swirling, swirling. With blue and purple and just swirling and swirling and swirling, and I just think it's beautiful.
I just love Jesus.
Okay. And I'm just going to order the Lord something. You're looking like, I love the Lord on him, and I love the Lord on her. And I love the Lord, but I just love, look at that, it's beautiful. Look at that, it's beautiful. And but there's an area where you're a little too nervous for him to come too close. But he's going to start coming close. He's going to be around your sleeping, so some of it you're not going to know when you wake up. And in those sleep times, it's like going to the hospital, getting, you know, put up under to have an operation. You're not going to remember. But he's going to start healing you in your sleep. And then there's going to be times where he's going, you're going to remember. You're going to remember, I had a good dream, and he loved on me, and I wasn't afraid. Mm-hmm. He didn't hurt me. He didn't use me. He just loved me. Not for what I could do, but for who I am. And I just speak the love of God over you and your healing process in the nighttime. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much.
Julia, I know you, so it's a little bit hard for me a bit to get a lot of these things to be judged. I don't mind ministering to other people that I know, but I do know a lot about you. But there's some things I don't know about you, amen? Only God knows about you, and that's good, right? Secret things belong to the Lord, amen? But He knows you, so you can't hide it from Him, amen? So anyway, I just want to encourage you. I really see a strengthening in your mortal flesh. Amen? Really, where it's, I just see you getting weary at times, you know, and it's... you know, you know how the enemy likes to work on us on that. But, you know, God can quicken our mortal flesh. And the Holy Spirit can quicken your mortal flesh. And the reason why He needs to quicken you, because you know, you have such a heart for missions. It's just bursting out of you. And there are other missions that are you don't even know about that will come up. They don't necessarily have to be the 15-hour missions. They might be the 5-minute mission down the road and here and whatever, but there's a heart that God has been developing in you over that, where you fall in love with the people. You know, their faces are still before you. You get on your knees before you, still pray for them, and God's imprinted that in your mind. But there's these little short, little sorties
that God's going to send you out into. And just be encouraged. The platforms are already being set up. You may not see it yet, but there's ideas that God has put inside of your mind for evangelism, and God wants to release those in your life to a greater dimension. And this whole thing, the whole time, it's like when you were over wherever you were, it's like, I'm home. This is my home. And that's finding the focus. That's what the Holy Spirit was doing with you. He was bringing that Polaroid picture where you're all of a sudden able to see it. That's the flow of your ministry. So all the training and all of that, and God uses you both as a team. You're different, but you're still a team. And God wants to use you in these little sorties. So just be prepared, okay? As you get those ideas, you must write them down so you will not forget them. Not that you forget things. She doesn't forget things, does she? Anyway, I just want to encourage you, okay? Yeah, some of these sorties are really close, okay? Not that there won't be long ones, but there'll be close ones too, amen? And Doug, I want to give you a word of encouragement too. I said something, I think it was last week, about how to come before the Lord. And I think it really went down deep inside you. I could be wrong, but I really think that it just hit something because, like me, I was approaching him incorrectly. Now, there was a time I could have approached him like I was, but ain't that way anymore because I've had to learn. And so I really feel that approach that he's been preparing you, there's a timing in the approach too is what he wanted me to say. And there's a timing that he's been teaching you about. And he's giving you a vocabulary. It's more specific. It's more focused. It's not this. It's like the Spirit of God is speaking, because sometimes when we prophesy, there's a formulation that can go on. And I see the Holy Spirit, refining you in that arena. And you're going to be really blessed because it's sometimes things come out. They don't come out the way that you want them to come out. It's kind of like when I'm in a discussion. She's not here tonight. So I can say it. So sometimes I get in a discussion with Kara and things come out in a way that I shouldn't come out. And sometimes I'm thinking it and I know I'm not supposed to say it and it comes out anyway. Like one time we were late and her dad was on her, because she is late sometimes, most of the time. And I was thinking to myself, well, the whole world doesn't revolve around you. And it came out of my mouth. Yeah, I paid for that one. Because her friend was in the car, and she goes, what did you say? And she goes, he said that you said the whole world does revolve around you. Well, thanks, Grayson. I was just thinking it. But the Holy Spirit has a way of bringing things out in a way where we pay a price for sometimes our words, that he might refine me. And I would welcome that. Always welcome that, because your prophetic is God, and it's your prophetic is very accurate. But there's a stream of it, and I see that stream, and you'll be very thankful in the days to come how it's going. You're aware of it, and you've been asking for it, so that refinement is going to come upon your life in a greater measure. Boldly come before the throne, amen, amen. God's so good. Thank you, Jesus. You're just sitting there waiting, aren't you? Chopping at the bit here. And Milburn, you got something too. You can come up anytime you want. You don't even need to ask. Just come up, just stand next to me, and I will yield. Now, Milburn, back there, keeping quiet and all reserved.
Michelle, one thing I want to add to your prophecy is that the Lord is doing something eternally, that he's going to change something. Now, I've never used this term before. I hear other people use it. But he's going to change something about yourself. Do you know what I'm talking about? The way you talk to yourself. And we all do it, so I'm not talking about something strange. But the Lord wanted me to tell you that he's going to change something about your self-talk. He's going to elevate you with regard to your self-talk, okay? And the Lord has his hand on me, and I think I've ministered to you before, but the Lord has his hand on me, and he's doing something. You're coming to a breakthrough. You're coming to a breakthrough. You haven't had the breakthrough yet that you need to have in your life. But you come to that breakthrough, and there's going to be rivers of living water that are going to come forth out of your innermost being because of that breakthrough. There may need to be some time that you spend with the Lord and pray with regard to these rivers of living water. But there's a gushing forth coming that you haven't experienced yet that the Lord wants to do in you and wants to provide in you. You're going to see a dramatic change, and you're going to see your household is going to be changed. Your immediate family is going to be changed. Those around you are going to be changed. And everybody is going to wonder what has happened to you, and you're going to be able to tell. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord, I believe, is saying that you've got a heart of gold. You're in many ways, like the Bible says, David was a man after God's own heart. You're a woman after God's own heart. You're seeking the Lord, and the Lord knows it. And a lot of times, your energy and your enthusiasm and your efforts don't have the result that you think they ought to. But the Lord is working on it. The Lord is refining it. And He's bringing you to that place of rejoicing. He's bringing you to that place of ministry to others and of individual ministry one-on-one and even ministry in a group. He's doing some things in you having to do with what you've prayed about. Now, I believe the Lord would have me to encourage you and to urge you that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous woman avails much as well.
Yes.
And keep praying about that. Keep seeking the Lord about that. You're going to see a dramatic change. Your prayer life is going to change. You're going to see results from your prayers like you've never seen before. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Lewis, have we taken all your words yet? He sits over there and he's getting all these words and we're just giving them out, and he actually confirms this happens a lot, so next time I'll remember. You sure you don't have one? Okay. Melbourne, you good? Okay.
We do have a special prayer request, please.
Okay.
Some people we know, Eddie Bamford and his wife Debbie was in a bad car wreck. They T-boned a big truck. And he's okay, but she broke a vertebrae in her back, and she's in surgery right now, and I'd like everybody to pray for her and hope that prayer comes through.
You guys come on up and lead us in prayer in that, okay?
There you go, Terry. I'll let you.
What
are things better than I do? Go ahead.
I'm going to be honest with you. Robert was in the wreck, and it was his fault. But we are at peace. We're at peace, and it happened yesterday. And it was just an accident. And he's a pastor. And she was a passenger, and she was reclining in her chair. And
so the airbag had no effect on
her. To my accident, so it was at high speed and no brakes. So anyway, but we have contacted the pastor, and he's been letting us know her situation. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
I lift up Debbie Bamford for us.
And I
speak to the bones in that side. And I say, line up with the word of God. Be knit together that no nerves be damaged. That she will have complete restoration. All pain will leave. Lord, I speak to any fear or anxiety. And I speak your perfect peace over Eddie, her husband, and the entire family. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the angels that surrounded her yesterday.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
It was a fraction of a second that could have been life or death for her.
Yes, Lord.
And we realize your hands spared her.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I ask for complete restoration. That even as their car was full of food to take back to North Carolina, that you will multiply whatever they had planned to do. Lord, I speak to his ministry as the pastor of this First Baptist Church in North Carolina.
Salute him.
Salute him, North Carolina.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord,
thank you, Lord,
that you will multiply his efforts.
Yes, Lord.
And you will show him favor.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, I thank you for this peace that we can't explain. I thank you for the growth that you've done in me and Robert. We would not have acted the way we did today.
Yes.
And yesterday, a year ago.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
So Lord, I thank you for preparedness and equipment.
Thank you, Lord.
And I give you all the glory.
All the glory, Lord.
In Jesus'
name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Can I just say one,
yeah,
one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I read the back of your shirt? The back of your shirt? Can you turn around? Matthew 25:40 says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one least of these brothers of mine, you have done for me. And I'm from Massachusetts, so I just want to, I've been here about 2 weeks. But what I'm sensing real tonight, and it's for the area, for the, you know, for y'all. I said y'all. So, what I got was there's no gray area. It's either black or white. And but the Lord's going to start dropping a lot of opportunities for us to bless other people, whether it's giving them money, giving a word, witnessing to them. But there's going to be a greater awareness in this season right now, mm-hmm, for all you here and for this area.
That's right.
Of blessing. Like there's going to be little trinkets that he's dropping. So just be aware of the opportunities that God's going to put before you to bless others. Because it's got to do with his glory and increasing his glory and giving him glory.
Oh, yeah.
And his glory growing on the earth. So that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Bill, I want to give you a word of encouragement. I feel like, first of all, Bill, we're glad that you're here. Because in the storm, a tree went down right on your home and split it in half, correct? And it was near your bed. If you were sleeping in your bed, then you wouldn't be here tonight, correct? But you were in the other room reading the Word of God, so... It was early in the morning too, so I mean, but consider the discipline. You know, you said something to me that really ministered to me. Victory is not automatic, and that stuck deep down in my spirit. That was a real nugget. That's kind of your ministry in a way. It's like you throw these words out that are very seasoned, and they're very timely. And I really feel that God is positioning you to do that more often. I see you sometimes like, it's almost like I need to go up and go to the store, not to go to the store, but because there's somebody there I need to say something to. And there's an evangelistic nature that God is releasing in your prophetic. And it's like a chess game. He's moving you strategically. And be sensitive to that, okay? Because the dam's going to open up again. It's like the floodgates are going to open up because you're reserved in a lot of ways. You have a lot of things to say. But you're a little bit hesitant, so you're going to start to speak. Now, those that know you know that you're not hesitant to speak anything, but but there is a little bit of a hesitancy, and there's a seasoning that's inside you, and God wants that confidence to come out again. You know, there's a time and a season where it's like just a real Russian river, and God is bringing that back, but it's going to be a different dimension because it's seasoning on it. Because there's a time where it's almost like going to the backside of the desert where it's just you and the Holy Spirit. And there's an intimacy that has taken place in that. And now that's going to come back to the forefront because you've been trained, and there's going to be a new release and a refreshing. Times of refreshing are coming from the presence of the Lord. And there's a softening. Your words will hit the mark, but they will come in a softening. You know, Jeremiah was a ball baby. And he said some very serious things, but he was a crier too. And I really see that happening where the weeping is going to come up inside you. Even when you bring the words, you see tears coming through your eyes because there's going to be such a compassion, such a concern. And you get to your knees and the weeping is going to come in your intercession such as never before. You know, when there were things that came into the temple And people were so upset about what was coming in the temple, how these things were just, you know, totally against God. And there was a weeping. People would weep, okay? There's a weeping inside you and a real deep concern for the things that you're seeing, and not just in the world, but in the church. Even though you're not in the places, you know it by the Spirit. But there's going to be a weeping that's going to come upon you in intercession, and it's going to hit the mark. Because you know that angels hearken unto the word of the Lord. And when your intercession goes forth, the Holy Spirit's going to take your mouth. They're going to hearken, and they're going to be dispatched. I saw in the Spirit in a dream once. I've only seen angels one time, at least that I know of. And all it was, they're just flying. And they were flying, and the whole thing that came to me, that they're being dispatched. It doesn't take a whole lot of those angels, by the way. They're very powerful. One took out 180,000 people. So anyway, just want to give you that word of encouragement. Did you want to back that up or just, okay.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God's been good. Yeah. Oh, he doesn't want you to step back on that piece of equipment there. Yes. Yes.
I don't, if I may speak of something that I saw in worship.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Let me share something with you and then you come up. Okay. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. I see like it's like a weeping and a disturbance in the force, you know, in the force of God, I should say. Okay. Not the thing in the Star Wars thing, but it's almost like a disturbance where there's a side of you that's so honed into the Lord, but then there's a static at the same time, and the static is a result of something you're trying to get free from, and there's a battleground going on inside of your mind. And as I was sharing with someone over here, not every thought is your thought, but the enemy has hit you so often over a period of years that he's masking, these thoughts are masking themselves as your thoughts. And so you're taking a little bit of ownership in them, which is dictating to you an image that is not of the Lord.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So tonight, the Lord's given me the authority in the Spirit to take out that thing. Now, aren't you glad you got that monkey off your back? You come up and share now. There are a lot of, they worship monkeys over there in South Africa, and I didn't know it. I was in an area, and I kept saying that. And at the end of the day, they said, you know, they worship the monkey god down the street. And I go, oh my God, that's all these monkeys. Amen. They literally do. It's a big old monkey, and they spirit gets in them, and they climb up stuff. I don't know. It's weird. Come on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I let you get your composure.
I don't know how. Okay, I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit because you won't break off. So, I saw snakes on your legs, ladies. Representing the lies of the enemy that you've said yes to and the attack of witchcraft on your life. And I see the Lord so proud of your understanding and authority and identity in and through him, but I feel as though he's asking for a prophetic act. Is that all right? Okay. I don't know if you've ever done anything like that, but sometimes it's like you have to use your physical body and your authority that Jesus gave you to come against those snakes and those scorpions that we're called to trample on and dismantle and kill in Jesus' name. So I've taught my little babies that when the enemy comes knocking at your door, you stomp on that snake, like you don't let him take root, and I am guilty to allowing him to take root in my own life. But I just say, what the Lord is saying to me, if we would all, repent and slice his head off. So using your own authority, just take it off your ankle. So in the name of Jesus, Father, we repent for coming into agreement of lies that are not true of your word and who we are, and allowing witchcraft to control our lives. And in your power and authority, Jesus, we just slice the head off that snake in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you replace what was taken. Any venom that came in goes out now in Jesus' name. And Lord, would you just fill them in Jesus' name? Would you just fill them in Jesus' name? Lord,
it can't be judged, and that's very important that we judge things. Amen. And
you know, it's God's good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're still here. Lord, that you would continue to minister to us as we leave here tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we've seen storms stopped. And we've seen people were delivered here tonight. We've seen healings take place. We've seen words of knowledge. We've seen gifts departed. And you are the head of the church. And Lord, we thank you that we know that you're here when there's a conflict between two kingdoms. And your kingdom is the kingdom of God. And you are the Lord of Lords, and you are the King of Kings. And we just thank you for coming tonight and visiting us. We thank you, Lord. I release Psalm 91 over this group, Lord God. I ask you to commission your angels to surround and protect them, fill them up to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and we just bind the powers of darkness away from them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.